It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In 2012, Pittsburgh was one of four cities nationwide to launch the 2030 Challenge for Planning. It's a voluntary public-private initiative with the goal of reducing the environmental impact of buildings by reducing energy and water use, as well as transmission emissions. Last year, the city hosted the first ever National 2030 District Summit. Here with an update on where the city stands in meeting its goals is Sean Luther, Pittsburgh 2030 District Director for the Green Building Alliance. He joins us in Studio A. Sean Luther, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Since its launch, how has Pittsburgh 2030 changed this city?
So, you know, the interesting thing that we've been working on is actually tracking what the buildings are doing. So the past couple years, we've been talking about how many buildings are committed. Now we're actually able to report out the progress that they've made. So we feel like this program has really inspired a lot of property owners and managers to look at their energy consumption, to look at their water consumption, and really put a plan into place to improve those numbers for net benefit for the entire region.
And what ideas have come out of the National 2030 District Summit?
So the summit was really exciting. We had folks here from two countries and about 15 cities. And since those folks were all here at Point Park University, and we've actually had two additional districts launch in Denver and Toronto. There's some chatter in Michigan and Texas and Connecticut of districts coming online in the rest of the year. So it was an opportunity to showcase what we were up to here in Pittsburgh and really demonstrate leadership across the country.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 with your comments and questions. Email address ESSPGH at WESA.FM. On Twitter at ESSPGH. Follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. What do you think can be done to reduce emissions in the region? Again, our number, 412-246-2002. The Green Building Alliance is working with the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission on reducing transportation emissions related to downtown Pittsburgh. The formal launch is happening this spring. What can you tell us about this effort? A lot of people are concerned about the pollution, particularly what is generated just in the immediate vicinity of downtown Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, nationally, a tremendous amount of the emissions and the electrical consumption are tied up in buildings. But given the struggles that we've had in outdoor air quality in the region, I think the transportation program and part of this is going to be as impactful, if not more so. And so what we'll be doing is actually launching an employee-based survey in downtown Pittsburgh and try and get a real up-to-date model on how the 160,000 people who come into downtown Pittsburgh every day are getting there. We're very fortunate that we have the transportation network that we do. The Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership estimates that about 54% of the people are coming into downtown by some means other than driving by themselves. So we're going to work with the folks at the PDP, with Southwest Pennsylvania Commission, Bike Pittsburgh, and others to really capture exactly what's happening in the hopes that that will impact our regional transportation planning conversation. You know, the idea that a lot of our infrastructure dollars are tied up in repairing and expanding highways versus expanding and growing our mass transportation network and other alternative transportation programs.
So what will you be looking at specifically? Things like how many people are utilizing mass transit, you know, whether there are enough carpools to eliminate or maybe take some cars off the road, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we're actually – it's basically like playing a giant game of SimCity. So we actually identify a zip code point of origin and then whether an employee works in the Golden Triangle or on the north side. And we're able to multiply a distance factor times whatever mode that they report out. So they'll say 75% of the time I'm coming into town on the T, 25% of the time I'm driving by myself. And that gives us a really up-to-date baseline picture of how transportation works in Pittsburgh. And then we turn that over to our transportation partners. And, you know, that's really, we like to say we're adding another, you know, arrow to their arsenal to move the conversation forward about how people are getting into and around Pittsburgh.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here because there are, for one thing, a lot of people in Pittsburgh who like their cars, who want to drive, regardless of how long they're sitting in traffic. Downtown, it's heavily congested. You have bus lanes, but traffic crawls at a snail's pace. Traffic lights are not in sync. So you can literally go a block and wait and then go another block and wait some more, and your car's idling this whole time. And so, pollution is being emitted. There's all sorts of exhaust fumes around, and that's just within downtown Pittsburgh. So in order to do that, the question becomes, how do you change the culture? How do you get people to buy in to ways of reducing emissions?
So the great part about the way that we're doing the survey is we're going to ask these very basic conversations. Where are you coming from? Where are you going? And how are you getting there? But people are very passionate about this conversation around transportation. So we're also going to take the opportunity to kind of get feedback from the everyday users of the transportation network. Why aren't you carpooling? Why might you not be taking a bus? Why might you not be taking the T? What would incentivize you to ride a bike? And we got some very interesting early feedback when we tested this out in December. We got about 1,200 responses on a test survey, which is obviously a very small fraction, but it really whet the appetite from our transportation partners to look at, you know, things as simple as, do you know that the North Shore connector is free? Do you know that you can park on the north side and come into the Golden Triangle on the T for free? You know, those are conversations that we're going to be able to analyze. And again, it's folks like the Port Authority and the Southwest Pennsylvania Commission and the Downtown Partnership. They're going to take that information and really move that forward in a strong partnership with the city and the county, I think.
Now, another component to this conversation is the fact that Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania's air quality is bad to begin with. It rates as some of the worst air, some of the most harmful air in the country. So, and we talked earlier this week about coal-fired plants and their emissions. And there's all sorts of criticism coming from environmental groups about the lack of effort being put in by the state DEP. So if you have this bad air quality to begin with, how much of a dent can you really put in the air quality in Pittsburgh, and how much can you really lower the emissions?
Yeah, and you know, the particular conversations that are happening around the coal-fired power plants are an immediate conversation. The 2030 district framework is a little bit more medium term. So we're working to reduce the actual demand on the energy system. And that does two things. It allows us to have greater flexibility in the energy distribution grid, which will allow for easier introduction of renewable energy, which frankly, you know, the way our technology is set up on the grid makes things very difficult on a broad network scale. And then we're also reducing reliance on these coal-fired power plants in the hopes that, you know, in the future, we won't need to add capacity. You know, every time you buy another Apple product, every time you're plugging in another power strip, our regional energy demand is growing. And so the 2030 district is seeking to dramatically reduce the load on the grid by the downtown property owners. And so far, you know, we've been able to pull out about 12% from the energy demand baseline. And that's equivalent to almost 8,000 single-family homes coming off the network. So that provides the flexibility to have these more short-term conversations about how we're generating power and how we're going to generate power in the future.
We're talking with Sean Luther. He is 2030 District Director for the Green Building Alliance in Pittsburgh. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Let's go to the phones now. We have Grant in Mount Lebanon. Grant, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, gentlemen?
Well, thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Grant.
I had a question about why, and this doesn't just happen to be downtown Pittsburgh, but it seems that in numerous office buildings, even though everyone has gone home for the evening and maybe the cleaning staff has already finished that building, you can see floor after floor after floor of not just safety lighting, but just lighting to just light the whole floor. And it doesn't make sense. I mean, you can see it in the steel building. You know, you can see it in the PPG or,
Yeah,
the light, what have you, UPMC, what have you.
Right, the lights are on, and we seem to like our lights on at night in Pittsburgh. We want to show off the buildings, or the people that own them want to show them off. And obviously, when there are certain outdoor sporting events, for example, a live broadcast of Sunday or Monday night football will bring all the lights on. So what about what Grant is saying? What are the reasons, first of all, that it's being done? Is it aesthetics, as we might suspect?
No, Grant, it's a really interesting question, and I live downtown, so I get to actually watch when some of these lights are turned off. And the way that traditionally the housekeeping services are done in these office buildings is they come in as late as 11 o'clock and work through the evening. And so one of the conversations we've been able to have with a lot of these property owners is going to what we call day cleaning. And this is where the housekeeping staff is actually in the building at the same time as the majority of the daytime office worker. This has a number of benefits. Properties like 11 Stanwix, which is experimenting with this in downtown, have seen a dramatic energy reduction because they are able to turn those lights off sooner, as soon as 7 or 8 o'clock in some cases. And then there's kind of this social prosperity conversation that happens when those housekeeping staffs have better access to public transportation because they're not getting off their shift as late. And you actually, as an employee during the day, see the folks that are servicing your space. And so you kind of lose that, my trash magically disappears from beside my desk and my carpet is magically cleaned overnight. You actually interact with those folks. And it really has a much better kind of general sense of positive interaction throughout the day. But, you know, Paul, you raise a good point that there are times when it is nice to have all the lights on in downtown Pittsburgh. You know, you think of Light Up Night and these celebrations of the progress and the success made in this hugely successful corporate center. But our partners are seeking to balance that out both through year-round improvements and moving towards LED lighting and motion sensors, but also events like a couple weeks ago when we celebrated Earth Hour here in Pittsburgh, and about 30 properties went completely dark, their roof signs and all non-essential lighting. And so, you know, it's a give and take, and the net result is that we're moving downward, but we have a lot of room to grow on the lighting conversation.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Jim in Oakland. Jim, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, Paul. I love the show, and I just want to say I'm blind, and I know I take the buses all the time, and on the buses, there's so much pushing and shoving and everything, and I think that if I could drive, if I were able to see, I'd just get my car and just go places. On the buses, there's so much shoving and pushing. I was pushed on the bus steps one time by a lady, so I don't know.
You're saying there's a problem.
If I could drive, I would.
Okay, and well, and certainly what Jim raises is a good point that the buses are crowded. So a lot of times, if you're taking a bus at rush hour, you're standing, and as in Jim's case, you're likely to get pushed or shoved. And that might be one of the reasons why people don't enjoy taking the bus if they have the option of driving. Are there things that will be done as part of this spring initiative to inform the parties that be, the county, the city leaders, about more efficient bus routes and more buses, perhaps at times when people are crowding onto them?
Yeah, I think the city and the county governments in particular are very aware of what's happening in the transportation network. What the survey is going to do is provide some fact-based evidence of what everyone kind of knows to be the case, and Jim and myself as a bus rider included, that we're way over capacity at rush hour, that in general you can get to downtown, you can get to Oakland and home, but getting between the networks or between the neighborhoods is difficult. That there's infrequent service on some routes. We're going to be able to quantify that and then give that to the county government, and they'll work with the Port Authority on what that means. But until we can actually say, you know, 5% of the downtown workforce isn't taking the bus because the bus is overcrowded, you know, we don't want to work on assumptions. And you know, that's not how the business community works, and we would hope that's not how government works either.
Of the cities participating in the 2030 challenge, how does Pittsburgh stand out?
So we are the third district to launch, but we're only the second district to get to the point where we're actually reporting out our energy consumption. We're the fastest growing district in terms of actual property square footage committed. So we're really excited about what that means in terms of demonstrable leadership by our business and our real estate community. So at a 12% reduction, we're behind our partners in Seattle. They're at about a 22% reduction. But, you know, we're also kind of ahead of the game in terms of actually saying this is Pittsburgh's number. I've spoken with the folks at the PDP and the office brokerage community about using this to say you can say your downtown's green, downtown, your uptown Charlotte or downtown Baltimore, and downtowns inherently are green. But Pittsburgh will have the advantage now of saying we're green because we are 12% below our baseline in energy consumption. So it's kind of a – it becomes a competitive number with other – with our peer cities.
Why should people care about this? People – somebody listening to this go, okay, yeah, I kind of get it, but so what?
You know, there's kind of two broad reasons I think why it's really important to the community. The first goes back to those coal-fired power plants and the conversation about our power network. Our demand is growing. You know, our population is starting to grow again, but our demand for energy is growing exponentially beyond that. And so if we don't cut the actual energy demand, we're going to need to build more power plants, and that's not going to help the air quality solution. The other aspect is, you know, this has a direct impact on the cost of doing business in downtown Pittsburgh. And you know, there's a lot of jobs tied up in this very small area. And if we can't reduce the operating expenses for folks like PNC and Highmark and U.S. Steel and BNY Mellon and all these great corporate partners, they're going to move somewhere else. You know, they have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders to operate as efficiently as possible. So cutting operating expenses out of these buildings has a direct correlation to the economic competitiveness of the region.
Has the 2030 challenge created jobs in the region?
You know, in terms of direct job growth, we're seeing more demand for probably existing employment. So a lot of the progress that's been made has been made on the HVAC improvement side, on the lighting retrofit side, and those are being done by, you know, very talented folks in the region. We're expecting that to get from a 12% reduction to a 50% reduction, there's going to be some major capital projects happen, and that's going to mean a real job creation number for the region.
Let's go to another caller, William in Pittsburgh. William, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you. My comment is about mass transportation. I know you covered the topic already. High-speed transit is probably the most efficient way to get around your larger cities. I've lived in a few of them. I've experienced them. I've been overseas where they use them all the time. And Pittsburgh's done studies and studies and studies, and it always comes down to, you know, the best way to get in and out of the city is probably mass transit. But nothing ever happens. It's always about the buses. It takes too long for me to drive 32 miles a day on a bus. I prefer to be on a system that moves throughout the county to the airport and back, and it just never happens.
Well, it's certainly something we've heard people say that the subways are really, or some sort of light rail expansion, are really the answer for the future. Is that in fact true, Sean? And what about what William is saying?
Yeah, you know, I think this is all going to be part of the benefit of the survey, and it'll provide the opportunity for people to say, I do not ride the bus because of X. I would ride light rail because of Y. And those are the type of conversations that we need to have as a community to kind of plan our long-term growth. It's very difficult to develop fixed guideway mass transportation in the region because of our topography. And it's really, really expensive. And we're at a point where the federal government is probably going to start pulling back on their contributions to local infrastructure projects across the board, highways, light rail, busways. And so it's a conversation we need to have a community and with our elected officials in Harrisburg and Washington to really move us forward.
And before we wrap this up, the Green Building Alliance is working with Pitt to develop and pilot an indoor air quality metric. Indoor air quality. How's that going?
Yeah, you know, this will be the we'll be the first district to take this on, and it's moved a little slower than we would have liked because it's a very difficult conversation, both in terms of what do we measure? Is it just CO2? Is it carbon monoxide, particulate matter, mold, any of those questions? And then also, how do we measure that? We're talking about 35 million square feet of space committed to the 2030 district right now. You can't just send in a grad student every 2 days and test that air. So we're really excited for the potential impact, and we'll be working closely with our property partners on that, as well as the University of Pittsburgh. And so I think next time I come in, I'll have a better update on exactly where that program's going and what that means for our real estate sector. And most importantly, the folks that work in those buildings downtown.
We'll look forward to that. Sean Luther is the Pittsburgh 2030 District Director for the Green Building Alliance, and he joined us here in Studio A. Sean, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, facts and fallacies about finding your bliss, and later we'll preview the Equal Pay Rally. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.